Hey folks, this is Ryan LaCroix with KOSU. Recently, I had a chance to talk with actor, writer, woodworker, musician, and comedian Nick Offerman. He's coming to Oklahoma City this Sunday, September 29th at the Criterion with his new live show titled All Rise. In this interview, we'll talk about how he stumbled into doing his own version of stand-up, his love for Oklahoma, which he calls his second home, how his wife, Megan Mullally, helped jumpstart the career of another Oklahoman, Bill Hader, and he'll also share some of his favorite songs. I hope you enjoy. Hi, Nick.
Good morning, Ryan. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I have no complaints.
That's good. That's a good way to start out a Thursday morning, huh?
Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your live show. We'll just dive into that. It's called All Rise, and it comes to Oklahoma City on Sunday. But you kind of started out as a theater actor, so this isn't necessarily a stand-up set, but kind of a one-man show, right?
That's right, yeah. I have followed a strange and organic path from theater to television and film, and it was only, 6 or 7 years ago, colleges began to invite me to perform as a stand-up, and at first I demurred because I don't do that. But then, a switch was flipped somewhere inside me, and I said, I'll come do my stand-up for you guys. And I thought it would be fun to try, and I really took to it. So I still, my first love is still the stage. You know, I love performing in a play. But there's something about the minimalism of rolling into town with a backpack and a guitar and making people laugh for an hour and a half that really appeals to me.
Yeah, well, I've seen you reference Garrison Keillor and Oklahoma's favorite son, Will Rogers, in regards to that style, you know, one of a humorist. That obviously appeals to you somehow, but any plans to perform rope tricks like Will Rogers used to do?
No, I unfortunately am not nearly as talented as either Will Rogers or Garrison Keillor. If you took the great humorists of yore and sat me down at the Waffle House and shook me around a little bit, that's much more. I do play songs on the guitar, and I do love my songs. The audience really... they're songs about how we as a species have screwed it up royally, and songs about what we might do to improve our lot.
Yeah, well, and it seems like it's a little bit of reflection on society, too, from what I've heard you talk about. And I know that's what Will Rogers kind of did, too.
Well, I mean, you know, I think we're if we're both after shining a light on the foibles of humanity in the hopes that we might improve everybody's equal share of decency, then I definitely am on the same path. I see him several miles in front of me on the horse track of humorists. But yeah, that's the idea. Is I don't have the brain capacity to actually get into skewering politics itself, but the lack of humanity, the lack of empathy in our modern society is something I could take a swing at.
Yeah. Well, I've always been impressed with you because, you know, you're multidisciplinary. You're an actor, a writer, a musician, a word worker, a comedian, kind of a Renaissance man. How do you find time to work on each craft, but also excel at each craft?
Well, I guess the level of excellence that I may or may not be achieving would be very subjective, because I feel like I usually feel like a freshman or sometimes a sophomore. I just follow my gut. I am lucky enough that I can get an acting job, and if a script inspires me and somehow tickles me and makes me feel like, whether it's a comedy or a thriller, that somehow this will help ask the questions that will, you know, provide medicine to people one way or another, I can take an acting job. I'm lucky enough that I get to write books. I'm working on my fifth book right now. And, you know, I found a publisher that lets me write about whatever I want to. And so, you know, anybody who could get paid to just geek out on whatever subject matter, obsessive him or her, I think would agree that that's a very lucky thing indeed. You know, and it's funny, it's very organic. I did an acting job that took me about 6 months over last year. And then I say, all right, now I've got an itch to start this new book. So I start researching my new book, which is going to be about our relationship with nature. And then I feel like I want to tour around and make some people laugh. So I book a tour, and it's a very lucky thing to get to do that. And I'm aware of that good fortune. So it keeps me, keep my head down and keep working hard. So I'll just hope to continue to deserve the opportunity. And as to whether or not my work is any good, I leave that up to the audience. But people have been showing up so far, and I take that as a compliment.
Yeah. Well, it definitely seems like you're a very curious person, and one that isn't afraid to try something as well. And it seems like, especially with woodworking, that seems like a really curious thing to me. But I think that was something that was in your family, correct?
Well, yeah, my family, my mom's side, are still farming corn and soybeans. And my whole childhood, they had a barn full of pigs. And my mom and dad grew up on farms a few miles from each other. So the whole family in Illinois, everybody makes things with their hands, whether it's cooking or sewing or gardening working as mechanics or carpenters. So I grew up just using tools of all kinds, and we were all raised to be self-sufficient. And that just bled really easily. When I went to theater school, I started building scenery for money on the side, and that turned into woodworking eventually. And the thing I love about it is, I mean, you're right. I think I am a curious person, but part of it is by design. A great teacher of mine, a Japanese arts teacher named Shozo Sato in college, taught me that a happy life can be found if you always maintain the attitude of a student. And so I find ways to make my living always learning. And woodworking and writing books and working as an actor, those are all, you know, anything you do as a human being, you always have the flaws of humanity, you know. No one ever does anything perfectly. And so if you continue striving towards that, I think that helps you get up in the morning a lot more easily. And it's a funny thing, you know, leaning back into your last question, I am not crazy about my guitar playing skills, for example. I'm a lot better than I used to be, and I'm not as good as I'll be in 6 months. But what I've learned is if you play with heart and gusto and confidence and generosity for your audience, then when you screw up on the guitar, they don't consider that crappy music. They consider it charming. And once you can wrap your head around that whatever about me is clumsy or you know, not ideal, that it's not a detriment, but actually that's my character. Like, oh, we love this guy. He bangs on a guitar and makes a bunch of noise, and we all laugh. And we leave happy, and nobody noticed the embarrassing B chord that I tried to essay.
Well, you know, picking up the guitar and learning that, like you said, getting better every day is a skill unto itself. But I know that you at one point started reading books to try to make your own guitar, but kind of got a little scared off by the end, right?
Well, I did. I mean, I didn't get completely scared off, but I got slowed way down. And the reason in a nutshell is when you make an acoustic guitar with steel strings, when you're all done and you put the strings on, those steel strings, when you tighten them up, they create about 200 pounds of pull on the shell of the guitar that you've built. And so if you don't get it just right, you can explode the guitar. And that's how every book ended, every guitar making book. They said, now be careful or your guitar will explode. And I said, maybe I'll start with a ukulele. And so I'm just sort of putting myself through elementary school as a luthier. And so, and I have, I've made a couple of ukuleles that I have played on tour. I don't have it with me this time. But I have a batch of a dozen ukuleles in my shop that I'm just finishing up. And once I get those done, then I'm going to start swinging at my first guitar. So I'm going to take the plunge.
There you go. So not completely avoiding that now. Just got to baby up to it a little bit, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, baby stuff.
Well, Sunday's performance here in Oklahoma City will be this tour's second stop in Oklahoma. You kicked it off in the metropolis of Thackerville in southern Oklahoma.
That's right. Go big or go home.
Right. And your wife, Megan Mullally, is from Oklahoma City, and you've called this your second hometown. So it sounds like, tour or not, you're in Oklahoma quite a bit.
I am, yeah. I'm crazy about it. I didn't know much about Oklahoma other than what I'd read. I think I knew more about Tulsa because of my fandom of S.E. Hinton, the author, and some films that are shot around there. But when I started visiting Oklahoma City 20 years ago, when I started dating Megan, I was immediately charmed by it. The people and the pace really remind me of my own upbringing in central Illinois. You know, that it's dustier and the dirt is redder, but there's a warmth and a friendliness that remind me of the Midwest, and I mean that as a compliment. But I've really grown to love it, and I've watched it over those two decades. I've watched, you know, pockets of culture, restaurants and arts centers take root and sort of, you know, begin to blossom. And that's been really gratifying. I'm a big fan of a chicken fried steak and the entire menu at Johnny's. But it's also nice to get some choices for when I come to town.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the culinary scene definitely has exploded here quite a bit in the past few years.
Amen.
Well, I have to ask you about one of my favorite Oklahoma stories of all time, which you're integral in. Your brother, Matt Offerman, and Bill Hader were in a backyard comedy group called Animals from the Future. And you and your wife, Megan, went to their show. And It was pretty integral in Bill Hader's career, right?
It was, yeah. I mean, Bill had never, he had barely even done an audition. He'd been working as like a PA on some crappy movie, and he started this comedy group with my brother, and we went to see it. And I'm telling you, it was like we were in 1974. Seeing a young Bill Murray before anybody had seen him. We just were bowled over by his charisma and his talent. So it's not, he does credit Megan with giving him his career, because she went home and called Lorne Michaels and said, you got to check this kid out. And Lorne said, okay, I hope he's funny. And then he flew their group to New York and put Bill through some auditions, and I mean, weeks later, he was on SNL. And so Bill certainly is very grateful and, you know, says that Megan gave him his career. But that guy is such a ridiculous pool of talent that, you know, if it hadn't been Megan, it would have happened soon after somehow or other.
Well, it's crazy to see that, you know, once performing in backyards with the comedy group, and now he's won a second Emmy for Best Actor in a Comedy Series. Meteoric rise.
It's pretty nifty, yeah. I mean, we've really enjoyed watching him over the years, and we just had him over the other day. And it's also nice, you know, he's a Tulsa boy, and it's nice when the manners that we're brought up with don't go away when you see people hit the heights of fame and fortune. He still has very good manners. So if you could pass that along to us folks, I'd appreciate it.
we'll do. I've read that, and I've seen interviews with you where it's obvious you have a great taste in music, and, I know this can be a daunting question sometimes, but I'm just ask you to pick maybe a song or two, maybe not your absolute favorites, but maybe songs that you just wish more people knew about.
Oh gosh. Yeah. That is, that's a vast question. Well, by and large, my favorite musician, historically is Tom Waits. And I'd say in general, not enough people know about Tom Waits, who I think is the greatest songwriter of our day. I'm really into his song lately, from his record Mule Variations. And I liken myself to a donkey quite frequently, so maybe there's something to it. But there's a song called Come On Up to the House that I find really rousing. And the theme of it, I think, is life is hard. You know, no matter where you are or what your situation is, the human condition is going to lay you low from time to time. And no matter what your travails may bring you, the answer is, come on up to the house and we'll take care of you. And I think that's incredible advice for what has befallen our society, is that we've lost the sense of fellowship around the dining table, sense of community, of leaning on one's neighbors. So I love that song.
Come on up to the house. Come on up to the house. The world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. You got to come on up to the house.
Another song that I would throw out is, you know, Megan is obviously best known as a legendary actress, but she believes, and I'm not going to disagree with her, that her greatest talent is as a musician. And she has this incredible band called Nancy and Bess, nancyandbess.com. You can find out all about them and hear them and see some videos that she's directed that'll knock your socks off. And in my pre-show music for the show that I'm touring, I have her rendition of the George Jones classic, He Stopped Loving Her Today. And if you want to thrill your morning, throw that thing on. The harmonies that she achieves with her bandmate, Stephanie Hunt, will make your hat fly off.
Went to see him just today. Oh, but I didn't see no tears. All dressed up to go away. First time I'd seen him smile in years. Loving her today. They placed a wreath upon his star, and soon they'll carry him away. He stopped loving her.
I actually got to see Nancy and Beth and you. You actually were there too in Philadelphia maybe a couple years ago at non-convention. So really enjoyed that performance.
Oh, thank you. It's the best roadie gig out there. I get to drive the star of the show from town to town, and then they get me up there to do a little comedy. And in the final song, I get to play a marching bass drum.
Again, a man of many talents, right?
That's right.
Well, one more question. I'll let you go. I've seen you mention both burger joints, and you mentioned one earlier in the interview. If you only had time for one meal in Oklahoma City, would it be Johnny's, or would you take a time machine to go back and visit the sadly now closed charcoal oven?
Well, if the time machine is an option, I would definitely jump to the charcoal oven. You just can't beat the aesthetic of that place. But I mean, if there's a time machine, then I might sneak back a little farther, because I bet you can get a pretty excellent steak about 80, 90 years ago, and long before the Class and Curve took up residence.
What are you eating?
I call this Turf and Turf. It's a 16-ounce T-bone and a 24-ounce porterhouse. Also, whiskey and a cigar. I'm going to consume all of this at the same time because I am a free American.
But, you know, it's hard to miss. There's so many good restaurants there. The blossoms of culture, there are pockets of funk growing up all over that town that I'm very happy to see.
Well, Nick, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to me today, and I wish you well on your travels.
My pleasure. You have a great day.
All right. You too, Nick. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
A big thanks again to Nick Offerman for talking with me. He's bringing his new live show, All Rise, to the Criterion in Oklahoma City this Sunday, September 29th.
All the screens in the world just won't let me be. Life is way too Instagrammy and emaily. So I went to my shop, milled some fine mahogany, and I built this mother-loving ukulele. Ukulele, 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 ukulele.
Ha, 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 ha.